Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, great grandpa. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. You live in a zoo. You're turning 18 or 82. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Happy birthday to you. I went to the zoo. I saw a black monkey. He looked just like you. Peace.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, John.
Very happy birthday, John.
Happy birthday, John.
Have a very happy birthday, John.
Well, bon anniversaire.
John, feliz cumpleaños y que lo pases bien.
Happy birthday, Papa. I hope you've had a good day in spite of your cold, poor Papa. And forgive us all for making you have a party. It's good for the soul. We all love you very dearly. Happy birthday.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. I'm a lonely boy.
We're going to talk about Papa, so would you like to talk about what sort of music he likes first?
Oh, music he sings.
Sounds for the man, Henry. Just a lonely frog.
Hermitage Castle song? I don't think it's hummable. It's loosely to the tune of the Ride of the Valkyries, I think.
Over the border. No telephone so big letterbox. Remember?
Biting and bashing buckets of blood.
Largely speaking, Papa likes music that he sings himself.
Yeah.
An eclectic mix of weird tunes.
Cocoa, coconut.
Got a skin that's hard to cut. The Granny Goat song. Granny goat, granny goat, granny, granny goat.
There isn't any music he likes, but he hasn't made up the lyrics to you on that.
I've been asked to talk about you over the many years. When I first knew you and you threw a Hoover at the door, I think we shut it just in time. We had to charge you on your mess bill, didn't we? You and your friends used to come down every weekend, or once a month at least, and create havoc amongst us. That's partly why it took me 5 years before I finally gave in. Still, we've had some happy times ever since. We've had some happy times in Harrogate, happy times in Harpenden, and very happy times down here. So we're lucky. We're very lucky, you and I. We've got a lovely family. What more do we want? We've got 3 children who still speak to each other. They're all married people who still speak to us, which is even better. And we're very lucky that we all get on so well.
How many names does he have from Mrs. Fruit?
Oh, it's an infinite number of names, Mrs. Fruit.
Well, anything prefixed by Mrs.
How many can we name within a minute?
Twingy Thweeb.
Mrs. Twingy. Mrs. Fruit.
Madame Guichet.
E.M. Mummy Mrs.
Mrs. Poggle.
Yes.
Wouldn't do very well on the generation game, would we?
No, we wouldn't get the cuddly toy. Either.
Mrs. Cuddly Toy?
They all laugh at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laugh when Edison recorded sound. They all laugh at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi Wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laugh at me, warning you.
What nickname he has ever come up for you guys?
Well, Bonzo Chap was loud.
I was going to be called Arbuthnot.
Yeah, and then you were
that was banned.
And then he called you Bonzo Chap, but there was a concerted campaign against Bonzo Chap, which took up the energies of all of those who had a concerted campaign. So by the time I came along, my nickname stuck.
Which is Gribble. Gribble. An aquatic sea worm.
Yes. Very good. And as for Wonk, that stuck so much that even his friends at school called him Wonk.
My son started calling me Wonk, come to that.
Fortunately, the bestowing of names has not extended to those of us who have had the fortune to marry into the family.
I have a strong suspicion that some sort of ruling was made on this.
Do you think so?
I think behind the scenes. Because I do remember having a college friend ring me up at home.
Yes.
And Papa passing the phone to me with the clearly audible down the phone line, "Here, it's for you, it's that girl with the voice like a foghorn."
And they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together. Darling, let's take a bow. For who's got the last laugh now? They laughed at me.
Colin McPhee.
Why are you called Admiral?
This is an obscure appendage. It was dreamt up, I believe, by John and David Ballard, because they knew that when I was with Tate and Lyle, I was able to take people out on a barge on the Thames for what can only be described as a very boozy cruise. And John and David duly came on one of those trips, along with another group of people. And thereafter, I became the Admiral, because the great thing about it was that the barge, which Tate and Lyle, which company I worked for, owned, had the permission to actually cause Tower Bridge to be raised so that the barge could go through. And John and David and all the other friends had quite a lot to drink, and we had a very good evening.
Lovely story. How long have you known John?
I've known him for 40 years. Near enough, because our sons were at Hazelwood School together and then they went to King's Canterbury.
What sort of person would you say John is?
Oh, distinguished, dignified, of good humour and of great worth. And he would understand what that meant, great worth.
Do you have any funny story that you would like to tell us about John?
Not really. No, I couldn't possibly embarrass him in public. I might in private.
Of course, he'd just left the cooker on cold, but actually he produced the ice cream from inside the cooker. And I knew from that moment forward that I should never take anything he told me seriously or with face value.
I mean, I would believe in Father Christmas just as much as I believe that cows go to school in buses. Yeah. Or you catch mushrooms in nets when they are flying low over hedges in the mushroom catching season.
You have to hide behind the wall so you can catch them as they come whistling over. Yeah.
In fact, I still believe all of this, obviously. Yeah. Yes.
Well, the main problem was the cognitive dissonance when you realised the Papa was actually talking seriously and it took a few seconds to make the connection.
More than a few.
Who's got the last laugh?
Let's pass laugh. Who's got the last laugh now?
Alexandra Yule.
What sort of uncle John is to you?
He's very funny. Always makes me laugh. I think he's actually quite sensitive, but he probably wouldn't normally show that. He's been a very good uncle.
Do you have any precious memory that you have?
Mainly funny memories of holidays in Scotland, going mushroom hunting with fishing nets. Because mushrooms fly, you know.
I don't, but...
hunting for Wolfelston Crun, the badger, along Riccarton Railway. And so mainly funny memories.
If you have to use three adjectives to describe John, what will you choose?
Funny definitely has to come into it. A little bit peculiar. I think I'm going to say sensitive.
Though he may not agree with you.
Yes, exactly.
Margaret Yule, or Auntie Marigold to some.
Do you remember when you first time met John?
Well, Uncle Martin and I went down to stay with Granny for the weekend, and that was the first time I'd met his mum, and he told me that she was very deaf and kept her ear trumpet in the vase of flowers on the table. And so in order to communicate with her, I had to talk loudly into the vase of flowers. And I was completely taken in. So that's become a standing joke in the family ever since.
What sort of person do you think John is as a brother-in-law?
A big cuddly bear. Yes. He's great. He always come to family occasions, and he always enjoys a good joke. Lots of old jokes too. And no, brilliant brother-in-law. He's good-humoured, an adjective. Good fun. Can be serious. These aren't adjectives, but anyway, they describe how I think of him. A good listener and very good support.
William, John is my uncle and a very special person in my life. He and Aunt Liz have always been there for me and Alexandra, and we've always enjoyed coming to Redden's and Quarry Road for many years, many, many years. And it's very nice to finally come. Archie, John's great nephew, has just been sick. Anyway, it's very nice to now come back with my children and enjoy the same hospitality that we have done all the years. I have particularly fond memories of shooting mushrooms in Scotland. Waffleston Crun, who was a badger that Uncle John introduced me and Alexander to. Thank you, Archie. When we were much younger, and hiding our welly boots and things like that. So, yes, they were very fond memories. Entertaining, funny, and always there for us. I'd like to wish him a very happy birthday. I understand it's a fairly significant number now. Wish him many more years of happiness, and hopefully he can watch his grandchildren and Alice and Archie grow up, and yeah. Happy birthday.
People have said I ought to say something.
Yay!
I don't want to. It's not my birthday. I opted out of it 10 years ago. I shall opt out of it again. I've got to cut this cake. And I can only say, looking around, I keep on thinking of those Old Testament people surrounded by all their bloody children. So I cut, on behalf of the children, I will cut the cake. I don't care what the rest of you have with it. Right, where do I cut it?
Well, Grandpa does this every time we leave the building. He goes, and he waves one of his hands like in front of his, by his ear, and he just waves his hand around randomly by in front of his nose, you know, kind of thingy. And he always does that, and it's kind of weird.
Oh,
but it's awesome.
Whenever we go to stay with Grandpa and we're going, Mummy and Grandpa go, and so pretend crying and hugging each other. Yeah. And it's really, really weird and a bit soppy.
I can't think of anything silly he's done.
They've done a lot more, but I can't think of any.
Do you think of anything that Grandpapa has done sillily?
Mostly all the time, he's very silly.
Now I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Keeping all my worries on a faraway shore. Out on that slimy wind, that moon deep and shining. Resting my heart on stone. I wanna get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself, all to myself. Now all to myself alone.
So anyway, Papa's driving.
I can remember when I was learning to drive, I was having trouble with the gears. And he looked over and he said, "Your mother sometimes waves that magic stick in between us." That was about the most I got from it.
I think it's actually the reason why Mama wanted us all to learn to drive as soon as possible. Perhaps so we wouldn't be driven around by Papa.
Well, it has to be said, I have a strong suspicion that he is, roughly speaking, as short-sighted as I am. But all the evidence of ever meeting him from a railway station, for instance, suggests that actually he can't see particularly well and clearly, which is a bit of a handicap when driving a car. And certainly, because Mrs. Fruit does nearly all the driving, and actually if you drove once in a blue moon as he does, then you probably wouldn't be very good at it anyway. So,
well, I feel privileged at having experienced being driven by him once in 16 years and look forward to the next time in 16 years.
As a son-in-law, when you first time met Papa, what do you think about him?
Well, clearly not very much.
No, an awful lot. I slightly austere in what I came to understand as a very humorous way, but I was slightly wrong-footed by a man who didn't seem to take anything or anybody too seriously, and I didn't know whether I was not being taken seriously as a mark of disdain or acceptance when I finally asked for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he asked me what my financial prospects were, led to the uneasy Mexican standoff of my asking what the dowry was going to be. However, I knew that we'd sealed the deal when he offered to open a bottle of champagne, and he met me on common ground. And I think that's it. A love of radio for history, fiction, wine and port has basically proved that you don't always have to listen to what other people say, but you can have great conviviality through mediums of fun that bring people together.
Are you saying you don't listen to what my father said?
I beg your pardon?
You're saying you don't listen to what I say?
Or anybody?
Patrick Sale. I first met John just after Kate and Redmond got engaged, so it must be about 15, just over 15 years ago. Well, I have to judge John very largely through Redmond, and I know that Redmond is extremely fond of him, and I believe it's right to say they get on very, very well together. And from that point of view, I principally sense that he's a man with a great sense of humour, a man with a great interest in a wide diversity of things, although I understand from a little rumour I heard from Redmond the other day that he doesn't, for some reason, rather like cricket very much, which seems a little bit eccentric. eccentric, but there we are. We all have our eccentricities. But he is clearly a person who has a lot of empathy, and certainly any times I've ever met him, I've always felt he's had a lot of empathy with the people he's dealing with. And I'm actually very, very pleased that my eldest son has married into a family with such a fine person at the head of it. Yes, John, very, very many happy returns. I wish you all the very best.
I think he's very humorous. I think he's very accepting of his children's partners. And I think he's just a fun person. When I first went to have lunch, my first lunch at their house, we were all sitting in the living room drinking fizz, and Mrs. Fruit went out to the kitchen, and she was out there a little while, and one of the boys said, do you think Mrs. Fruit's in the kitchen having a nervous breakdown? And I thought, what sort of family is this that can just leave their mother in the kitchen having a nervous breakdown, and didn't lift a finger to help? But I had worked with him for a while, so I knew it was probably not entirely true.
Eileen Akehurst. John is a very difficult man to get to his psychic, as it were. But he's got a lovely sense of humour. Well, he can be silly, but I like that in people, because it shows that they haven't any inhibitions. A very kind and thoughtful and jolly man. Yes, happy birthday, John. I hope you really enjoy the day, and I hope you've had a great day today, because I think everybody else has, so I hope you've enjoyed it too.
Yes, this is Helen.
I have known John for 40-something years. John is a very laid-back person, but he is the greatest company, and we have had many happy evenings together. Oh, goodness me. Not too silly, but I do remember we used to go to French lunches together. In those days, before all sorts of cuts, they used to provide pâté and salad for us to have at these French lunches, and a bottle of wine. The wine was given out in glasses, and there was always some left at the end of the lunch before we started the lecture proper. And what was left in the bottle was usually put towards John on the basis that he would probably finish it off.
Ian Fleming. How long have I known John? Since early 1970s, perhaps the late 1960s, we were colleagues in ICI. The other great thing was that he and I, we had a magnificent country house up in Harrogate for the members of the board. And we were treated really like royalty. And John and I very often used to come up from London and spend the night there. And we had a magnificent meal prepared for us when we arrived, going up on the train. And we used to drink a bottle of wine. After a while, we decided we wanted a bottle of wine each and none of the standard stuff. And we knew the manageress of this country house extremely well. And she used to bring up the finest wines from the cellar, which, of course, we never discussed with any of our board colleagues, especially not the chairman.
You had a good time together.
We had a great time together, and that's carried on since we both retired. John and Elizabeth come out to Barcelona. My wife, Edda, and I live in Barcelona. We've been there for 27 years now. And they come out probably once a year, and we carry on our wine drinking and bubbly drinking and travel around Catalonia. Recently, we're in Carcassonne. Then we went to the south coast of France and into Cadaqués, where
Picasso, Dalí, and all these people were. And we carried on drinking wine and having a lovely time. So our being colleagues has turned into a very close and deep friendship with both Elizabeth and John. Witty, erudite, and great company.
My name is Mike Pugh. Well, John and I met in the Royal Auxiliary Air Force. I had been in the Air Force as a national serviceman, as had he. Well, I mean, there was a little clique of these very distinguished people, and I wasn't one of them, who all worked for ICI, Imperial Chemical Industries, which was the great British industry. And they all had very distinguished careers. John was a Cambridgeman, barrister, and they were all frightfully clever. And I remember that John was seconded to run Camel Laird, was a big shipping firm later on in life. They were all very clever.
How did you thought about it when John asked you to become his son's godfather?
Privileged. That's all I can say. Privileged. Fascinating, enduring, and always welcoming.
Hi, my name's Peter Skeen. I've had the privilege of living next door to John and Elizabeth for 26 years now in Quarry Road. My wife, Pia, is Swedish, and she's always called by John the foreigner, all right? She and John get on so well, I can't believe that a foreigner and an English person can be so close together, but they are. But it's been a great privilege living next door to you, John. I can just say it's been so much fun. We're going to see Yes, Prime Minister. You're our guest that day. And we'll now, from now on, we'll call you Sir Humphrey, okay? Very happy birthday, of course. Many more to come. I'm only 21, so I've got many years to go until I reach your great age of 95, or is it 205? I can't remember. But best of luck and so much happiness to you both. Thank you very much for the privilege of letting us be your neighbours. Take care and God bless.
Peter Jolly. We are cousins. Best part of 80 years. He's always been embarrassingly successful. John always impressed me by how bright he was. We've had an interesting 2.5 years sorting out her estate. We've managed very well without falling out over anything, which I suppose says something. Oh, I suppose when we were 8 or 9, his father had a cine camera. And I think John and Martin and I quite possibly featured in the first cine picture of Derek Nimmer. I don't think it was a great success, but it probably exists somewhere. John used to live in a flat in Harpenden, and when I moved down to work in London, in Diggs for a time there, when my landlady was on holiday, I spent a fortnight in John's flat with him. That was interesting, seeing how a bachelor really lived on baked beans and things like that. I once was very adventurous and I bought a couple of lamb chops, but we didn't know what to do with them. But fortunately he had a waste disposal thing, so after a fortnight we got rid of them. Well, I wish you all the best. I understand he's good for another 20 years, so we'll have another celebration then.
It's Simon. So John Yule is my Uncle John.
What sort of uncle do you think he is?
Oh, that's a tough question. He's a traditional genial uncle, I think is the right way to phrase it. He's got a very genial feel to him. So that sort of classic, not naughty uncle, but a sort of fun, welcoming uncle, but slightly older. Does that make sense?
Does. To him.
You know, he treated you as an adult when you were a child. He was always he was really fun in that warm, welcoming way, rather than my Uncle David, Liz's younger brother, who was the naughty uncle and would do naughty things. And so it was a very different relationship we had with John. So Auntie Liz And someone said today, actually, she's looking more and more like grandmother. But grandmother was always described as formidable. I don't describe Auntie Liz as formidable. She's much funnier than that. Auntie Liz has a twinkle in her eye whenever you see her. For John, for his 80th birthday, I think it's an amazing, amazing day. I'm so glad we could be here. I still feel close to you, and I wish you every happy return, and we're so happy to be here today.
Ooh, ain't got no home, or no place to roam. Ain't got no home, or no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy.
What were that three adjectives to be?
Round black snout.
Large furry person.
Jovial. Bejumpered.
Jovial. Caring. And what's a word for not interested in frippery?
Fripless.
Fripless. Bejumpered and fripless.
Your mother.
Yes.
Mm. Or Ballard.
Ballard, yes.
Yes, I always had this slight vision of Papa and Ballard being a bit like the two characters in, was that Scottish programme? Julian Fellowes was the neighbour, wasn't he? He was called, yes, Kill Willie.
With Richard Briers.
And Richard Briers was the up to no good with his mate next door, who was this Julian Fellowes character who had sort of the fully filled figure that Ballard had as well.
I ain't got a sister, not even a brother. I'm a lonely frog. I ain't got home. Oh, what you say to me? Please say to me. Oh, what you say to me?
Well, I mean, I suppose in all seriousness, it is quite clear that from the moment I was born, and possibly even before then, he was already planning the savings and the paying for school fees. And indeed, this was such a major part of his life for, I guess, 20 years or so, without us really realising it, that I remember they threw a party when they paid the last school fee. And various guests came along assuming it was a silver wedding anniversary or some such event, but in fact it was just to celebrate the last school fee having been paid, and it was a serious exercise.
Paying school fees, being in that position myself, I completely understand why he threw a party in the end.
Did you start a savings plan the day your eldest was born?
But your parents did?
Yes.
For all our children.
For all our children, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which just shows that, well, A, their generosity, and B, their forward thinking.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Hope they think they got their money's worth.
His image to me, like, so how I think.
Yeah, how do you think, if you need monkey, to use an animal to describe
monkey, you? Monkey, 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 monkey.
Are you talking about yourself at the moment?
Monkey.
Yes, okay.
I think Grandpa is a gorilla, because when I was little, he had like his big gorilla hands. And every time I rang the doorbell, he used to put his big gorilla hands around the door and scare me.
I think Grandpa's like Bagpuss, who is a cat in an old... He's pink and white stripy in an old TV programme that my dad used to watch. And he's very like Grandpa.
I think Grandpa's like a parrot, because he's got some obsession with parrots. And I like parrots. I don't know, he just reminded me of a parrot.
Pretty Polly, Pretty Polly.
Happy birthday to John. I am Porcus Markham. I am very awesome. And I like crackers. Whoop. Happy birthday, John.
Would it be going over the top to say we're all rather fond of him?
Good grief.
Good God.
You can't say that. Your next thing you'll be saying that he's not a bad old stick. No, I'd say that we're all really very fond of him.
I think that's going a bit strong. Fond of it.
Fond, okay. Rather. Fond.
Do you have any question for Grandpapa?
How old are you turning?
80, Megan.
Oh. Happy birthday!